But I haven't even told my joke yet. Okay. Okay. Take your Bibles. Turn to Acts chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 1 through 25. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 1. About that time, King Herod violently attacked some who belonged to the church, and he executed James, John's brother, with the sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter too, during the festival of unleavened bread. After the arrest, he put him in prison and assigned four squads of four soldiers each to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was praying fervently to God for him. When Herod was about to bring him out for trial, that very night, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while the sentries in front of the door guarded the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. Striking Peter on the side, he woke him up and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrist. "Get dressed," the angel told him, "and put on your sandals." And he did. "Wrap your cloak around you," he told him, "and follow me." So he went out and followed, and he did not know that what the angel did was really happening, but he thought he was seeing a vision. After they passed the first and second guards, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them by itself. They went outside and passed one street, and suddenly the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's grasp and from all the Jewish people expected." As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many had assembled and were praying. He knocked at the door of the outer gate, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer. She recognized Peter's voice, and because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the outer gate. "You're out of your mind," they told her, but she kept insisting that it was true. And they said, "It's his angel." Peter, however, kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were amazed. Motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. "Tell these things to James and the brothers," he said, and he left and went to another place. At daylight, there was a great commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had searched and did not find him, he interrogated the guards and ordered their execution. Then Herod went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Together, they presented themselves before him. After winning over Blastus, who was in charge of the king's bedroom, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food from the king's country. On an appointed day, dressed in his royal robes and seated on the throne, Herod delivered a speech to them. The assembled people began to shout, "It's the voice of a god and not of a man." At once, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give the glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God flourished and multiplied. After they had completed their relief mission, Barnabas and Saul returned to Jerusalem, taking along John, who was called Mark. You may be seated. Now, if you didn't get your map, Sunday, go ahead and get you one. A little map back there. This will help you. Thank you. If you fill it, I won't need it. If you don't, I will. Yes, one of Murphy's Sound Rules. Okay. Sunday, we were talking about the growth of the church. And we were looking at verses 19 through 30 in chapter 11. And in our map, if you look at number 1, you see that after the stoning of Stephen, the church spread out from there. That's as far as it went before the stoning of Stephen. But it went to number 2. It went to Cyprus, Antioch, and Phoenicia. Phoenicia, if you look where on map 2 where Tyre and Sidon is, that's Phoenicia. So after the stoning of Stephen, the church spread out, but only so far. And they were only going to the Jewish people. Even though they were spread out throughout the Gentile world, matter of fact, Antioch, we talked about Sunday, was the third largest city in the world at the time. The largest city was Rome. The second largest was Alexandria, which is down in Egypt. And the third largest was Antioch. It was a city that was known for its depravity. It was a city that one of the satirists of the day said of the city of Antioch, the pollution from Antioch has reached all the way to Rome. And that was 1,300 miles away. Thank you very much. Now, the Jewish people were the only ones getting the message. But there were some from Cyprus and Cyrene. Now, if you look at map 2, you see that the Nile River Delta, that's where it forks out like that. Over to the left of that is Cyrene. So these were Jewish individuals who had become Christians, but they went up to Antioch and started talking to the non-Jewish people. Now, the illustration I gave on Sunday was something like this. Suppose Mexico City was Jerusalem, and the gospel came in Mexico City. And everybody hung out in Mexico City until the stoning of Stephen. Then they went as far as Texas, but they only talked to Spanish-speaking people. And so those that didn't speak Spanish, they wouldn't tell the good news to. But there were a few people who said, we need to tell it to everybody. Jesus had given the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world and basically tell everybody. Well, at first they didn't want to leave Jerusalem. Then they only wanted to tell Jewish people. But the Holy Spirit was coming on those that were not Jewish. With Cornelius, they had accepted him as being a believer because he had sought out the Jewish people, the Jewish apostles. And so they said, well, it's okay if they seek us out, but we're not going to go to them. But Jesus said, go, not wait. So the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas. Barnabas, go investigate this situation. And Barnabas goes and sees that they have become Christians. Matter of fact, in Antioch was the first place they were called Christians. Barnabas sees there's a lot of work to be done. He's already encountered Saul. He's the one that introduced Saul to the apostles in Jerusalem when they were scared to meet Saul. Saul has gone to Tarsus. Now, we don't think he went hiding. We think he was just preaching, and Barnabas was going, we need your help here. So he went and got Saul, brought him back to Antioch, and they were teaching there for over a year. A prophet named Agabus came down from Jerusalem. Now, if you look at your map, Jerusalem is south of Antioch. But everything is down from Jerusalem because Jerusalem is up on a high plateau, so it's downhill. Agabus, we'll see again a little bit later at the end of, or near the end of Paul's third missionary journey. And Agabus says there's going to be a famine in Judea. And so all the disciples, all the Christians, decided they're going to help out those people in Judea. And so they send their aid via Saul and Barnabas. And that takes us to our passage today. King Herod, Herod Agrippa, he had James executed. James, the brother of John, not James, the half-brother of Jesus. James, the half-brother of Jesus, became a Christian after Jesus' death and resurrection, and he later became the head of the church in Jerusalem. So later in our passage, when you see, go tell James, it's not that Peter didn't know that James, John's brother, had been executed. He's saying, tell James, the half-brother of Jesus. James, the brother of John, was executed by King Herod. And all the Jewish leaders were happy. Herod said, hey, I found a way to make him happy, because he's been having trouble keeping him happy. Then he arrests Peter. And you got that pesky Passover. You know, that Passover thing where you have a festival in Israel where you celebrate God's deliverance. It always gets in the way of the Jewish leaders. They were going to have Jesus' legs broken because that pesky Passover was getting in the way and they wanted to make sure he's dead. Because we got to celebrate God's deliverance by killing God's deliverance. Well, Peter, Herod's going to put him in prison, but you got that pesky Passover in the way, so he needs to wait till the Passover's over so he can show how he's going to help the Jewish leaders by killing another of the apostles. The very night before he's going to execute Peter, Peter's sleeping. Now Herod, he had made great preparations. He had four different squads. So, like each of the squads had a certain amount of time they had to do their duty. And one soldier was chained on one side of Peter. Another soldier was chained on the other side. A little bit later, Paul is going to be in the same situation. Well, Peter is sleeping. And he's sleeping comfortably. A bright light comes in there. And the angel pokes Peter and said, get up. Put your clothes on. Put your coat on. Put your shoes on. And follow me. The chains fell off his arms. Peter, who has been accustomed to seeing a lot of visions, remember the vision he had before he went to Cornelius? A sheet was let down with all kind of animals. He said, I'm just going to go with it. This is what God, I know God's behind it. I'm not going to question if it's real or not. God's got something to tell me. So they go past the guard standing guard. Not only has there been a guard on either side of him that didn't notice the bright light. Now, we turn off these bright lights. You sort of notice when that bright light comes on. Imagine you're a guard in a dark cell and suddenly a bright light comes on. It's going to get your attention. Those people that are completely deaf have an alarm clock that flashes a light. That's one of the things. I remember that's one of the things from Radio Shack. We carried those. Because back when I worked in Radio Shack, you have questions, we have answers. You have, how can you wake up a deaf person? Well, I just happen to have that over an aisle four. Okay, let me get one for you. And would you like to buy a computer with that? We didn't make any money on commission selling that little thing that wakes you up with light. But that light shined. The guards still were. Nothing's unusual here. He walks past one guard that was outside guarding the door. Walks past another guard guarding the next door. Comes to the big gate. It opens itself. Sort of like one of those, now we got them where you punch the code in and it opens. There's nobody there. Well, this is before they had electricity and electronics that could open those. And that's what happened. That gate opened. Peter and Angel walk one block and the angel disappears. Peter suddenly goes, you know, this is not a vision. This is really happening. All during this time that Peter's been in prison, the church has been praying fervently for his release. Peter goes to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. Rhoda says, who's there? It's me, Peter. All right, we've been praying for you. And runs back and tells everybody, hey, everybody, Peter's at the door. You're out of your mind. Now, how often do we as Christians respond the same way? We're praying for something, and when God brings the answer, we're going, nah, that couldn't happen. The whole church, except Rhoda, was doubting. But Peter, it's his ghost. He's dead. Well, we better check out anyway. It is Peter. Now remember, these are Christians. Based on the resurrected Jesus Christ. And they don't believe that Peter could be rescued from Herod. But he's got four guards. Doesn't matter. He's in a prison. Doesn't matter. If God's going to do something, there's nothing that's going to stop it from happening. Peter explains what happened. He says, tell James. And then Peter leaves town. Herod's not going to be satisfied until Peter's executed. Peter has now departed, and we see Herod again. Herod leaves Jerusalem, goes down to the seacoast to Caesarea, sort of hide out there. You know, he was going to make the Jewish leaders happy by executing Peter. Peter got away from them. They're not very happy right now. So Herod's going to go into protective custody, maybe, if you will. On your map, you see Tyre and Sidon, Phoenicia. They have been in a broken relationship with King Herod. They get into one of his chief advisors. The chief advisor, it says he's over Herod's bedroom. That means he's the one that Herod trusts his life with. He's willing to go to sleep with this guy in charge and not worry about being assassinated. Other than being in charge of Herod's bedroom, he might have been the head of his secret service or something like that. It doesn't give a lot of detail. But this guy very close to Herod is convinced that Tyre and Sidon want to make peace, and so they arrange a meeting. Herod is sitting on his throne in all his fancy robes, and he gives a speech. And the people say, "Oh, that's the best speech we ever heard. No man could give a speech that good. It's the voice of a God, not of a man." Now, it doesn't tell us if they were being sarcastic or trying to butter up Herod by saying, "Here, let's give him as many compliments as we can." Because it doesn't matter about them. It matters how Herod responds. What happens when someone is trying to be praised, that the praise is only to be given to God? Angels say, "Don't do that. Don't bow down to me. I'm just a servant too." Paul later gets called a god, and he doesn't realize it at first because they're speaking another language. When you find out, "Oh, they're saying you're one of the gods." "No, no, we're just men. Don't do that." Well, Herod said, "Oh, yeah, I do give speeches as good as God." Now, we've seen a lot of illnesses. Herod got one, and he got worms and died right then. Our passage started with Herod executing God's saints. It ends with God executing the saints' killers. God brings justice his way and his time. Could God have kept James from being executed? Yes. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was to take care of Herod. James got promoted. For a Christian, to die is gain. Larry was talking about one of the people that calls him a Bible thumper. And Larry was saying, "Well, what's God going to call you when you stand face to face with him?" Well, James, when he died, stood face to face with God and said, "Enter, faithful servant." Herod stood face to face with God, "Depart from me into hell." It all depended on what God had planned. He knows when we're to be promoted. And until then, our work is not done. Peter's work was not done. God could have let Peter be executed. Said, "Peter, you know, James saved a seat for you at the dinner table. Come on up." But no. God wasn't done with Peter yet. And God had already told Peter that. There's going to be a time when you're an old man and people are going to take you the way that you don't want to go. Peter still had work to be done. He still had a lot of Jewish background people to preach to. Scripture tells us that God had called Peter to be the apostle to the Jewish people, and Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Now they work together for God's purpose, but there was a focus. It's not that Peter wasn't going to talk to any Gentile anymore and Paul wasn't going to talk to any Jewish people. No, they just had a target audience that God had called them to. Same for us. God has a group God has called us to speak to. We need to talk to everybody. But some groups we're better prepared to talk to than others. And who should we talk to? The people right there with us. Wherever God has placed you, that's probably a pretty good idea who God wants you to talk to. God's in charge. He was in charge of the life of Peter and James and the other James. And there was also another James the son of Alphaeus, another apostle, but he's not in our passage today. Just James, the brother of Jesus, and James, the son of, or the brother of John. There's a lot of other disciples that we never know their name. Christians in the church in Antioch, Christians throughout the world. God has a mission for each of us. Go and tell. Peter, after he got out of prison, went and told. Saul was telling people and teaching them up in Antioch. The last verse says, and then Barnabas and Saul return to Jerusalem. Many of the texts say from Jerusalem. Doesn't really matter. They might have been out of town and came back to Jerusalem. But in our next passage that we'll see next Wednesday, Barnabas and Saul are back in Antioch. God doesn't give us all the details because we don't need it. What can we learn from today's passage? Don't be surprised when God answers prayer. And remember, God's in charge. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you that we could be here to study your word. Let us depart to apply your word to all we encounter. In Jesus' name, amen.